Just good to see each one of y'all tonight. I mentioned this morning I only had five more sermons left before we turn it over to somebody who knows how to preach, and then I got to doing my math, and it's like, no, I got five more after this week. So I've got five more until we turn it over to somebody who knows how to preach and who knows how to do math as well. But after that, we're looking forward to a lot of good things. 2 weeks from tonight, Josh will be coming and preaching for us, and then on the 23rd, Zach will be preaching for us that morning, and then Dale will be preaching for us that evening, and so look forward to that. If you want to listen to it online, you can go to happychurchofchrist.net, but it's not there anymore. We've switched it over to happychurchofchrist.org about 10 years ago when we got the website, and I just can't remember which one it is, but it's .org if you ever want to get online and listen to some of those that you might have missed if we remember to record them, and we'll try and make sure we get these recorded when the time comes. We were talking about purpose, and specifically, whose purpose are you serving this morning? I'm just going to touch on a couple of verses really quick to remind you of where we're at. We looked at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11 that talked about God's eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus. And the idea behind that is there is nothing haphazard about this life that God has given to us or His plan of salvation. He knew before He created us that we would fail, and He already had a plan of salvation waiting for us. I don't know what God's eternal purpose is for us as far as the specifics, but I do know this. This world has been around, what, some 6,000 years? Who knows how many more years it will be around? But then there will be eternity. His eternal purpose was that we live our time here and by what we do show Him that we want to serve Him for all eternity. And even though we're not perfect in that service, and there are times where we are so imperfect that our sin takes us back out of Christ once we're in Christ, as long as we come back to God on His terms, because of His eternal purpose and the plan that He has for us that involves not only our initial salvation, but also repentance and coming back to Him, then we get to take part in His big plan, the main plan, heaven, whatever that is. And while I think it's fine to think about it, fine to wonder about what it may be like, the fact is we cannot know until we get here or until we get there. But we do know that it's part of God's eternal purpose. And this is the direction that man has been marching towards since before the world was created. And wouldn't it be a shame if we didn't find out what the next part of that eternal purpose was, because we didn't do our part. And so we talked about His eternal purpose. And we talked about the fact that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He created in advance for us to do. The works will not save us, we understand that, but the grace will not reward us. We understand that. We need both. The grace and the works. We also need Christ's blood and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. We need everything that goes along with our part, from our initial faith and our confession of that faith, calling on His name, and our repentance to our daily lives once we become Christians. But we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works. So our part of God's eternal purpose is to do that for which we are created. And so the question is, are you doing that? And if you're not, when are you going to start? Because your eternity hinges on that. God's grace will not change. God's grace has been extended to everybody with terms. Jesus shed His blood for everybody. But there are requirements in order for us to be able to take advantage of that shed blood. But if we'll do that, then we get to live God's eternal purpose here, and we get to see what the main part, I believe what the main part is going to be in eternity. The part that we really looked at this morning and within Jarrett's class this morning, if you didn't get to come to Jarrett's class this morning, I'd highly recommend it. Jarrett in advance stole most of my scriptures from my sermon this evening, accused me of hacking into his computer this evening, which is ridiculous. I can barely get into my computer, so that didn't happen. But the passages that he looked at this morning on false teachers really do apply to the other side of this equation, and that is that not only does God have an eternal purpose, but Satan has a purpose, and that purpose is our destruction. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're commanded, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan's purpose is our destruction. And so as we go through our lives, it is helpful for us to realize that there's not just the purpose on God's side, but there is a purpose on the side of the adversary. God permitted an adversary for us as part of the test. Exactly why certain things happen in certain ways, we cannot know. But this was part of God's eternal purpose. And he permits Satan to take his part. And his part is our destruction. And we would be really well served to keep that in mind. The final passage that we looked at this morning in full was 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13 that says this, talking about false teachers. Such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. And this may be one of the most important parts for us to understand about Satan's side. And that is, they dress in the uniform of God's side. I don't know if you've looked at the rules of war. That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? But nearly every conflict has a rule within it where if an enemy is caught in your uniform, they're executed. They are not taken as a prisoner of war, at least not until they are the execution has been, or not after the execution has been made. They are put to death because you can't tell whose side they're fighting on. The only way we can tell whose side one of these angels of Satan masquerading as an angel of light are on is if we allow the light of the Word to expose that. And so if we're not in the Word, it's almost impossible. Every one of us have people in our lives that loved us who were wrong in one area or another when it came to salvation. And you have to admit that those people, when we look at their lives, they weren't mean, nor were they insincere. And one of the hardest things about those who are masquerading as an angel of light is this. Very often they're sincere. As a matter of fact, very often they are doing more than we are as far as trying to shine the light. But they have some area of doctrine that is clearly spoken within the Word that they reject. And because of that rejection, because of their sincerity, they're likely, if a fly enters the ministry, somebody else take over. But because of that, sometimes they're a lot more likely to mislead us than somebody that we know is evil and somebody that we know is opposed to us. There's a lot of people in our lives that are sincere. And so we want to find, this is why it's so important for us to be reading the Word and to be studying the Word and then to have enough love and enough courage to bring the truth to those who are clearly outside of the truth. not in a manner that brings some kind of an accusation against them as far as their motives, but in a loving way as somebody who loves them and wants them to go to heaven just as much as they loved us and wanted us to go to heaven. And so this is one of the great challenges, I think, that we have as far as our purpose, is trying to identify those who are on the opposite side, willingly or unwittingly, and try and help them. Now, let me talk about those who are willingly against us, willingly on Satan's side. 2 Peter chapter 2, we just started it this morning, but 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, starting in verse 1. There are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. Remember, two of Satan's greatest tools are lies and deceit. There are false prophets among us. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. How many times do we hear something along the lines of, well, God spoke to me in this way, and He told me to do this. And almost invariably, what God told them to do was 180 degrees off of the Scriptures. And yet, because they have a persuasive way about them, or a kind way about them, or a seemingly knowledgeable way about them, they're able to mislead people, even though it's a story they just made up. Talking about that, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11, Paul is talking, and he said, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. A number of years ago, I learned calculus. I don't remember anything about calculus except for how to spell it now. But at one point, I learned calculus. It was not given to me miraculously, although it may have seemed like a miracle that I ever got past any of the tests. It was not a miracle. It's something, therefore, that since I learned it, that I could mishandle, that I could pass along in a way that was not correct. This was not possible with the Apostle Paul, nor the other apostles. Look at verse 12. I did not receive it from any man, talking about the gospel, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Peter talks about men being carried along by the Holy Spirit. When they were given the truth, it was perfect. And it was given in a perfect way, and they were able to pass it on in a perfect way. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair, would it? If Paul made a mistake, if there was something wrong with his memory, or if there was something wrong with his motives, and he was allowed to follow through that and get something within the Scriptures that was wrong, it wouldn't be fair. Because our understanding is that we will be judged by every word within Scripture. And so, if Paul had made a mistake, if it was something that he learned and didn't learn quite good enough, then we could be misled. But that wasn't the case. He got it by revelation, and it was perfect. That's why we encourage so much to read the Word for yourself. I've made a lot of mistakes in 40 years of teaching and preaching. I was figuring it up the other day for some people. I think I've taught over 2,500 classes. I know I've taught over 2,600 sermons. I have no idea how many Wednesday night invitations I've given. I have no idea how many hundreds of Bible studies that we have done. That is a lot of time to make mistakes and errors. And so there could have been something that I didn't intend to say that I said in the wrong way. And unless you're familiar with the Scriptures, you could be misled. And if you see that I've said it in the wrong way and you don't say anything to me, then you take part in that misleading. So I would encourage you to always question me on that. I had a nice gentleman in Colorado when we were down there, and he said, "You said to come to you if there was anything that we didn't understand or that you might not have said right." And he told me what it was, and I said, "No, that's not what I meant." But I said, "I sure thank you." Because that is one way. And by the way, the other thing I said is, why didn't you say something during class? It's a lot easier to take care of it on the spot, isn't it? Harder in a sermon. But in a class, so much easier to it wasn't a big point. I had told them to go to Proverbs chapter 1, and they went there, and I was quoting from Psalms chapter 1. And they all looked kind of confused at me. But it would have been a lot easier if somebody had said, you really have to get the place you're at right. And they didn't. But again, going back to this, there was no room for error in God's eternal purpose when it came to giving the word. We are told exactly what we need to know about the worship. We're told exactly what we need to know about our rules for life. And we're told exactly what we need to know about God's pattern for salvation. And there is not a single flaw within that, within the word. But there are people who, by mistake, can teach something that is wrong. And there are people who, because they have evil motives, will teach something wrong. And the only way you can be on guard about that, against that, is to be reading for yourself, studying for yourself. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to say." False teaching pays really well. It really does. There are gigantic religious organizations that bring in piles of money, of which they pay a generous portion to people to teach something that is not the truth. False teaching pays a lot of money. And the reason it does is because there are some people who won't put up with sound doctrine. You just think about what some of the groups are going through right now with sexual immorality. They're now saying it's not immoral. Why? Because they have really big contributors. They have big segments of their group that want to engage in this type of immorality. To suggest that that type of immorality is wrong could cost them donors. It could cost them numbers. It could cost them prestige. And so when these people decided they wouldn't put up with sound doctrine, they hired weak-willed men and weak-willed women to teach lies. And that's the way they want it. This is part of Satan's plan. When we talk about the fact that God has an eternal purpose, I believe we have no problem with that. But I do believe that we fail very often in realizing that we have a very active enemy who desires our destruction. And if you were to stack up those who are going to be destroyed against those who are going to be saved, Jesus said more would take the wide path that led to destruction than would take the narrow path that led to life. Satan is evil. Satan is absolutely vile. And yet he is absolutely successful in his purpose, because there are too many of us who will not put up with sound doctrine when it opposes our own desires. By the way, this is one of the reasons why we have some of the problems that we have today. Tim mentioned in his prayer this morning. Mike mentioned it in his prayer this evening. There are things that are going on right now that are unspeakable in polite company. There are things that are going on right now that would not have been dreamed of just a few years ago. Not just when I was little, but when some of y'all were little. It wouldn't have been put up with. What has happened? Psalms chapter 12, verse 8. "The wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honored among men." what is vile right now is clearly honored among men. And those that are in positions of political power, those that are in positions of the media power, those that are in positions of the corporate power and the banking power, they are on the side of this wickedness right now. And because it is so many prominent people, so many in otherwise respectable people, there are so many voices that are continually hammering good is evil is good is evil is good, that after a while it wears people down and you get to the point where the wicked are freely strutting about when what is vile is honored among men. Hadn't been too many months that there was a festival held in the park in Canyon where they brought in perverts to come in and dance for the children. And some of the parents allowed their children to go and touch those perverts. The parents and the perverts should have been punished. And yet, what is vile among men is now, or what is vile is now being honored among men. The reason I point that out is because sometimes when we think that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, we get the same picture as we do in the cartoons, where there's some charming guy in a red suit with a tail and horns and a pitchfork, charming you into doing what everybody wants to do, and that somehow the devil is just some kind of a mythical character. But we're living it right now. He is not mythical. He is a vile enemy, and he hates us. And most people are on his side, not so much those that are actively saying, I'm on his side. But when you combine them with those who are silent when they know this is wrong, they're the vast majority. Now I want to go back to where we started. Ephesians 3:10 says his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Because of God's eternal purpose, our sins have been washed away. Or can be if you haven't had that done yet. Because of God's eternal purpose, we can walk in the light as God is light and in the light, and we're told that the blood of Christ will cleanse every sin. And because of God's eternal purpose, we're on our way to heaven. And we get to enjoy every step of the way, including coming and visiting our grandbabies and those people who stay with them and everything else. There's a lot of challenges in life. And so many of the challenges are because of evil and because of the fact that Satan has a purpose. But if we can focus on God's eternal purpose and our part within that purpose, including our part to kindly and lovingly stand up against the purpose of Satan and those who are on his side, we'll take more people with us. That should be our goal. This life, it's busy. It'll wear you down. It'll distract you. Sometimes it's fun and it'll wear you down with those distractions. Sometimes it's discouraging and it'll wear you down with those distractions. But if we can keep in mind God has an eternal purpose, and part of that eternal purpose is us. If we will do our part and help others to do their part, we get to take part of that eternal purpose forever. That's what God wants. And if you want it badly enough to the point where you will change, if you need to make changes, then you'll get to be part of, and you'll get to see what the purpose is as he unfolds it. Do you want to offer the invitation? You might need prayers. It might be time to become a Christian. Whatever your needs are, please come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing.